Happy Sunday.
The content of this program, Reflections, is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm honored to be reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. Again, the name of our program is Reflections. For the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. We are still reading the book of Isaiah, and we also read a devotional, a very impactful devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. I'd like to begin with a prayer and to ask the Heavenly Father to bless this day and every day of our lives. Father, may we serve you and honor you and give you glory. May we, Lord, in everything that we do, may we fulfill the glory that you so very much deserve. Whether we eat or drink or anything that we do, whether we're listening or talking or just resting or speaking, Lord, please bless that moment, all of our moments, that they may give you glory. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of grace and the gift of faith. We thank you so very much for the tremendous folks at the North Carolina Reading Service, the great patrons that help support the reading service, that we may offer programs like this and many others for the enjoyment of our audience. Lord, we ask that the words spoken today by me are your words, words of your Holy Spirit, and that they may fall upon the ears and hearts of your beloved. And we ask this in all things in your Holy Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Sarah Young on September 20th teaches us this: try to see things more and more from my perspective. Let the light of my presence so fully fill your mind that you may view the world through me. When little things don't go as you had hoped, look to me lightheartedly and say, oh, well, this simple discipline can protect you from being burdened with an accumulation of petty cares and frustrations. If you practice this diligently, you will make a life-changing discovery. You realize that most of the things that you worry about are not important. If you shrug them off and immediately and return your focus to me, you will walk through your days with lighter steps and a more joyful heart. When serious problems come your way, you'll be able to reserve more for dealing with them. You will not have squandered your energy on petty problems. You may even reach the point where you can agree with the Apostle Paul that with all your troubles are light and momentary, compared to what the eternal glory are achieved with Christ. And two readings support this, and one is Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4 teaches us, for our light and momentary problems are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but at what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you, Miss Young, again for your great wisdom. We start today with Isaiah chapter 38. Last week we learned again about God's punishment of certain peoples, and in the last couple chapters we heard about what he was going to do and what he did do to the king of Assyria when the king of Assyria basically challenged God and his holiness and his dominion and his and God kind of had the last of it, destroying his entire army and then creating the situation for the king's two sons to actually kill him. When he was worshiping his own God, not the real God, not our God, not the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not the creator of the universe, but other things, like the many other things that exist today, and that they may not have a name, like we heard last week, Nisroch. Maybe it's a TV, or maybe it's pornography, or maybe it's alcohol or drugs or some other thing that we worship. But God is just as jealous over those gods as he was jealous about the king of Assyria worshiping Nisroch. God created us for us to worship him and him alone. And that's where our hearts should be. That's where our time should be. And that's what we're called to do. So let's open our minds and our hearts and our souls to this holy word of Isaiah, chapter 38. We will begin. In those days, Ezekiel became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Ezekiel turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Ezekiel wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and tell Ezekiel, this is what the Lord of your father David, says. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway to Ahaz." So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. A writing of Ezekiel, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. "I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living, nor will I look on my fellow man, or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion he broke all of my bones. Day and night you made an end to me. I cried like a swift or a thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was before my benefit that I suffered much anguish. I have suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I am doing today. Parents, tell your children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with the stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord." Isaiah had said, "Prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil, and he will recover." Ezekiel had asked, "What will be the sign that I will go up to the temple of the Lord?" Chapter 39. At that time, Marduk-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Ezekiel letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Ezekiel received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine olive oil, his entire armory, and everything found in the treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Ezekiel did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to the king Ezekiel and asked, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Ezekiel replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Ezekiel said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Ezekiel, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." "The word of the Lord has spoken is good," Ezekiel replied, for he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." Chapter 40. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain shall be and hill made low, The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all the faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or in the breadth of his hand marked off with heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in his basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale, or the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, or who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, and less than nothing. With whom, then, will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. Then look for a skilled worker to set an idol up that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its peoples are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look up to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each forth by them. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of this great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? What do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Wow, some beautiful, beautiful words, praising God and giving him all the credit and in the world. And who can compare to God? Who created everything? Who did God go to for the wisdom or the guidance or it's God. It's just God, and he is the creator of all, and it is his world, and it's. We're blessed to be created by him, and we're blessed to be able to know him and to be in his presence. That's the blessing. That's what we were created for, is to give him glory and power and honor and praise. And the way to do that is through accepting Christ as our Savior, because we needed a Savior. Our world was fallen. Our world was in ruin. And God gave us the ultimate gift, the gift of his Son, to die, to go to hell, to be raised again, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Chapter 41, the Helper of Israel. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblow chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it in fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says to the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol to its so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, your descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I have called you. I said, you are my servant, I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I'm going to read that again. That is such. Those are some beautiful words. So do not. So well, let me go back. Verse 8. Chapter 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners, I have called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for God is with us. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So some of you may say, hey, I am not of Israel. I am not of Jacob. I am not a descendant of Abraham. You are, in the fact, you are a believer in Christ. And when we became believers in Christ, we became unified with God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people through that. Israel by God's promise, and us by his grace. And we're thankful for that. All who rage against, this is verse 11, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, like little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says King Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that they may consider them and know that their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes, one from the rising sun who calls on my name. He treads on the rulers as if they were mortar, as if one were a potter treading the clay. Who told of this from the beginning so we could know, or beforehand so that we could say he was right? No one told of this. No one foretold it. No one heard any words from you. I was the first to tell Zion, look, here they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good news. I look, but there is no one, no one among the gods to give counsel, no one to answer them when I ask. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. So here's an argument that all other gods don't exist. All other gods are worthless. All other gods can't do what God does. God sets the future. God is the future. God could tell us what's going to happen tomorrow and a year from now and 10 years from now and 100 years from now. God knows. Other gods can't. We talked about other gods earlier. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, things that we worship that aren't God. So it's very, very important. It's critical that we profess our faith in Jesus, that we may have that relationship with God, so that we may have that knowledge, that peace that we've talked about through many of our weeks, the peace of Christ in our hearts through God. Chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens have stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So this kind of talks a little bit about what we spoke of earlier. I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. So here's the invitation that we have to partake in the festival of God, into the promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants. He is here in Isaiah prophesying the fact that the Gentiles will be part of the family as well, if they believe. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all that who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar live rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in their islands. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back, but now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, and I pant. I will lay waste the mountains and the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like my messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in the covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make this law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made to loot with no one to say, send them back. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in the time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to become plunder? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they have not followed his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. They did not take it to heart because they're living in ignorance. They don't acknowledge God, his greatness, and what he promises. Now, it's ignorance in that they maybe never learned about it. But keep in mind the things that happened, you know, just several hundred years before this, with the Egyptians being called out of Egypt and the tremendous miracles that was all around them because of God. I mean, this was real stuff, and they just ignored it. And there's things today that we're ignoring, signs today that we're not acknowledging God, childbirth, right, love, miracles, healing. These are gifts from God, love. Gifts from God, and we should be thankful. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, I believe, says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God through Christ our Lord. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, that doesn't sound like a pity party. That sounds to me like everything should be a thank you, God, or thank you, Lord. Be rejoicing, be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks. Chapter 43. You know what? We're going to stop right there. We only have a couple minutes before the end of the program. So we'll start with chapter 43 next week. But I do want to end with prayer and a request for you all. So if you are a listener of the program, I would ask you to please make sure you're inviting other friends to listen to our program. We are truly, truly blessed to have this opportunity to read scripture to you on the North Carolina Reading Service program. And we certainly want to share the great news of God with you all, but also as many people as possible. So please invite a friend or family member to join you, whether it's the live broadcast on Sunday afternoons at 1, or if it's a podcast later in the week. Please, I ask you to say a prayer and ask God to guide you in a way to share his holy word with this program if you feel appropriate. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for our listening audience. We ask you to bless them and to and watch over them. And to heal them, Father, we all need healing. We need healing in the physical way. We need healing in our spiritual ways. And Lord, we ask that both those be done for our audience. We've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen next week. We hope that you've enjoyed the program. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. Reflections is available in a podcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions or any feedback, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that number is 919-832-5138. May God be with you and those you love this day and every day.